Welcome back, episode 124 of the Ranting Rangers podcast in partnership with Inside the Rink. I'm your host, Jacob Berkowitz, and I'm alongside co-host Brett. And in this week's episode, we have on Tyler McGillick from Blue Seats Blog. We'll be talking about Mika Zibanejad, Kapokako, the team's acquisitions, team defense, and more. But first, just want to let you all know to go to insidetherink.com/ESPN to subscribe to ESPN Plus to watch games and more. And yeah, let's get to it. And we are back with Tyler McGillick of Blue Seats Blog. Tyler, how's it going?
Going very well, guys. How are you?
Good. Good, Brett. Brett took a while to... No.
What? What are you...
I don't know. I thought you were in a bit of a grumpy mood. It took you like 20 hours to get your response today. So I was like, where is he? Is he on the moon or something?
Oh, you're not talking about fantasy. It's fine.
Oh, speaking of which.
No, not speaking of which. You're not opening. No, no. I will shut down this podcast. We're not doing that right now. No, we have a guest, Berkey. Direct your attention towards our lovely guest who is nice enough to show up.
All right. So I figured we start off with the first question here regarding the trade deadline. There was a theoretical trade going around regarding Jake Guentzel. And it would say that it had to involve Perreault, Othman, or Kako in a theoretical trade of, say, a first Othman and a low-tier prospect. Would you have done that, or just rather go with the bargain bin?
I would have definitely been comfortable with Othman. I know there was a huge suspicion that Perreault would have had to have gone in the deal, and that would have been an absolute hard no. In my estimation, just because of the kind of level of prospect he is and the kind of season he's having in DC. So Othman, I feel, still a great NHL prospect, but, you know, maybe it's kind of, you know, we'll go on with the show a little later. I saw the notes, but, you know, seems to have a lot of production on the power play. Seems to be where he gets a lot of his points. So it's kind of something to maybe watch looking forward. So maybe not so much this year that's a problem, but down the road I think it would have been, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I get that for sure. I don't think I feel the same way, where Perreault was just a completely different tier. Obviously we're very excited to see Othman come up and see what he can do, and yes, no one's eager to get rid of him, but at the same time, you know, to get a player of that caliber, you got to go for it. I think I'm also not upset that they didn't go for it either.
It's not like, oh no, we have Othman.
No. it's still a great, you know, grade A, grade B, whatever tier you have. He is a high level prospect that will definitely be an NHL. A high-end NHL player.
So knowing that and the fact that we didn't get any of the high-value people, where do you grade Drury's deadline this year?
So I actually, on our blog, we had a similar similar conversation, and we gave it about kind of the consensus seemed to be a B. You know, solid pieces in all. Like nothing that really takes away from anything that's already on the roster, but just if anything solidifies the entire lineup, makes everything kind of deeper, like pushing Kako down to the third line. I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think he seems to be the most productive on the third line when he's playing against those like third pairings and just the kind of favorable matchups he seems to get. He seems to actually produce a little better when he's down the lineup. I know there's some good underlyings when he's top line as well, but you know, as far as like raw points, I think he does really well when he's a little pushed down into the lineup, and it seems he plays well with anyone.
Speaking of Kako, he hasn't obviously had a consistent center with that, you know, a 5v5 point producer, and a lot of people seem to forget that sometimes. What do you think truly at this point his potential is?
I mean, you know, at 5 years,
yeah, I think so.
NHL career now, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I would say he's middle six forward, top nine, you know, whatever you want to say. You know, is he a third liner? Is he a second liner on a cup winning team? I think on this team, he's best suited for the third line. If this is the team that finally gets it done and we finally win a Stanley Cup, I think he's the third liner here. But I mean, if you gave him, you know, if he goes anywhere else and he's on power play one, maybe top penalty kill, maybe he gets some shorthanded points too. You know, maybe he can get a little more points, but I think middle six for sure.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty fair, safe prediction at this point. Him all of a sudden blowing up and becoming a 60, 70, 80 point scorer would have been even more surprising what Lafreniere has done this year. Yeah.
Correct.
No, I don't see it happening. Solid two way middle six. That's kind of the what we're hoping for, but which is why I do think people in the organization have to feel that way too, that you draft a number two guy that is really probably more like a second, third round guy. But which has made it all the more curious to me why they were so unwilling to package him in any deals, that he was like a complete off the table sort of guy, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think that speaks to, I mean, look at what he, I don't have exact numbers in front of me, but I seem to recall, I don't know if you guys follow Rob Luther on our blog at all, but he always will do like trends and stuff. And I remember he posted when Kaka was out of the lineup versus when he's in the lineup. It seems like there is a particular balance that the team brings when he's on, like as far as expected goals against, all that. So I think the organization values the versatility of Kaka, that he can, you know, kind of Swiss Army knife it a little bit and move up and down the line.
Yeah, and he does a lot of things that don't show up in the score sheet, but are really great. We had a guy on a couple months ago talking about how his zone exits are so good, and the chances that come off of them are just way higher grade than a lot of other players, because he doesn't just get the puck up the wall and call it good. He actually takes that extra second. You know, it's almost like the same thing that I think is hurting him offensively is him taking that extra second that he shouldn't be taking. It's actually really helpful in the defensive zone to go like, I'm going to hold on to it. There's the freaking winger that I can get, which makes a big difference, you know. And yeah, those type of things, you know, they add up over the course of a game too, and they add up over shifts, you know, controlling that kind of play and having that going. So yeah, I agree with you there on that. I think he's a solid middle six. It is, you know, you would think if you're taking a swing, you know, and that if that is the ceiling of the guy, that you would maybe be more willing to part with him for the right deal. But they seem to be like, no, this is the glue guy that we really need, which is, you know, contrary to how a lot of fans feel about Kako, where they're just like, ship him off, he's worthless. It's very obvious that the organization doesn't feel that way.
And I mean, when it comes to, you know, playoff hockey, you know, what does every cup final team have? Like a legit shutdown line. And I think he's so key. He's so key in that kind of role. And I think he's embraced that kind of role because, you know, the offensive side of the game, you know, it might be a little harder for him for a second overall pick. And, you know, is there some disappointment? Like raw disappointment in that? Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, if he's key in like a shutdown role, that's just as valuable when it comes to ultimately winning Stanley Cup.
Speaking of other top line forwards, Matt Rempe, do you think that he is someone that's actually going to stick in this lineup going forward?
I absolutely do. I mean, I think, I think if he was going to not be in the playoff lineup, he would have been sent down like the day after the deadline. I think he would have been sent down immediately if they didn't think he was part of the long-term play this season.
What is it you think about it? I mean, because obviously the league knows him now as being this big bruising fighter. What is it about his actual game that you think actually helps him stick in this lineup with a fourth line that's now getting crowded too with people?
I love his forechecking game. I mean, even when, you know, the game last night against St. Louis, or the other night, excuse me, you know, there were like two or three instances where he's in on the forecheck and the Blues defenders just like would immediately want to give up the puck because they know he's barreling down at them, at, you know, at full speed, trying to separate man from puck. And like, they don't want anything to do with it. So, and then causing turnovers. It was so like, he's really showing that, you know, and he almost got on the score sheet too last night. If the puck goes an inch further, it's you know, he gets the 3-0 goal last night. But you know, so that'll be interesting to see if that kind of becomes a little more comfortable for him. But I think he's really showing to me he's not just a, you know, a face punching fourth liner. Like he can actually play like two-way hockey.
Yeah, like a lot of people have said that have followed him in the minors have said, like, when everyone was concerned because all what he had like 4 games of consistent fighting, 5 maybe.
Yeah.
And they're like, everyone's wondering, is like, oh, can he not play hockey? Like, is all he going to do is all that he's going to do is fight? And then everyone's like, no, he actually doesn't really fight at all. This is just actually new to him, and he actually can play hockey. So you see, like, and especially, I mean, I guess they never really would ever, even they, if they should, take Goodrow out of the lineup. So it would be between, I guess, Brodzinski or him. Do you think Brodzinski ever threatens him in the lineup, or you think they go with that, like, quote-unquote grit style of play for the fourth line?
You know, it's a good call, because I think, you know, because Brodzinski, he's 30, right?
I believe so, yeah.
29, 30, something like that, yeah. 30,
so, you know, yeah, so, like, I mean, he's not getting any younger. He has shown very good use of his role whenever he gets in the lineup. So maybe it would kind of be like a situational thing, like, you know, if they need a heavy forechecker like Rempe, or if they're going to go for a more shoot first. You know, Brodzinski's your guy for that. He is kind of a volume shooter. He doesn't score a lot of goals at the NHL level, but he is a volume shooter. He's not afraid to take a shot and try to get something on net and make a play.
So going back to top line players, or really the first line, what is Mika's deal? Like, what is up with him? Like, Mika March can't even fix him. Like, I thought maybe, all right, Mika March is here. It's over with. Whatever he's doing, it's done. And just, no, nada. It's not even like, I guess you can say the first line looked better with Roslovic Saturday night, but it seems like we're all like tired of, hey, he's looked better, and now we kind of want to be like, enough. You kind of want him to start producing more. We are getting closer to the playoffs. You want to get him going. Well, is there anything about his game in particular that you're saying this is the reason, or is just a multiple of variables or reasons?
I think it's a multitude of things, because I mean, he's, you know, I think having Roslovic will help, because Roslovic has the foot speed to kind of create separation with the defenders. Because, you know, Mika thrives, I think, when he actually gets open. He can get the one timer off, he can get it, or a regular old slap shot off, or a pass. It's just, I think the defenders cheat to him because they know he has, you know, he has arguably a top 5 one timer in the entire league. I would honestly argue. So I think, I really think the defenders are cognizant of that, and they will kind of keep to defend on him. And, you know, I think that's why it's also equally as hard for him to try and play make, because I know usually he'll try to make a pass to Kreider or something. So I think just having Roslovic in the lineup alone, I think you're going to see some, you know, maybe not explosiveness out of Mika, but I think you're going to, you know, I'd be curious to see if this week in particular, with some of the matchups that are coming up, if you'll see, you know, him score a little more 5-on-5 just because of the speed Roslovic.
Wait, are you trying to tell me that Roslovic is going to be a better pair and his speed might help over Blake Wheeler? Is that you're coming on our pod to give that hot of a take? that Blake Wheeler wasn't good enough for the first line.
Blake Wheeler disrespect is just.
Oh boy! That is brave. No, defend yourself by all means. God.
I will say in the case of Wheeler, I did think that was a good. I will say, and I still agree, that I think that was a good signing in the vacuum. He was what
800K or something like that.
You know, he was in the wrong role. He was not meant to be the top line right wing.
Yeah, Brett probably said at least once a week, like, get Wheeler off this top line.
Oh, that was painful. It was really, really painful. Really painful.
Yeah, and especially since you need someone with speed, and then you got Wheeler, who's...
Yeah, that's what really brought that point underlying. You're talking about Rossovic's speed and how that might unlock him. I'm like, huh, I wonder who was there before that was really not helping that situation. I couldn't tell how long a leash he got in there.
Yeah, and it helps that Kreider too, but if you have both guys going crazy.
The thing is, Kreider's like less of a playmaker. Kreider's not like a playmaker type where Roslovic couldn't make plays.
Right.
Oh, Kreider's a speedy, you know, lunch bucket sort of guy. Just get him in front of the net, you know, that's about it. I like Kreider too, but he's not a play driver. He never has been. That's why I think it's too. That's why he's been so streaky throughout his career too, is because he needs somebody else to get him to score and do what he does best. That's why he's in bunches. And it's like they only figured that out in his career like the last like 2 years. They're like, hey, why don't you stop trying to take shots from outside the circle? It's not working, Chris. You just park yourself in front of the net and we'll get. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll score 40 goals.
Only they thought of this in 2014 and 15.
It's like they literally.
No, I'm sorry. I want to say, if only they figured this out in 2014 and 15.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's like they said to him, hey, go home, go to YouTube, and just watch Joe Pavelski.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
This guy is 900 years old and is still scoring goals, okay? So just stick with that. That's what you need to do. Yeah, for real.
Like, also, it's like they didn't, like, for a span this season on the power play, Fox didn't even try to get it to him for a deflection. And, like, it's like, what are you doing? It was so frustrating because it's not like Mika's not open, so you couldn't get him a one-timer, and his confidence is an all-time low. So he's, like, shooting it into, like, the suites on, like, you know, whatever level it is, if you get it to him. And it was very frustrating because, like, just throw it on net. Fox has one of the most underrated accurate wrist shots. For deflections, and it's just like they weren't doing it. So it was like, I don't know. That was just the only one they did is when Kreider was on the side and he'd like have his stick on the ice and he tried to chip that way. I'm like, that's great and all. And it looks really, really cool that when it goes in. But here's the thing. There's a reason why it looks very, very cool. It's because it's very, very hard. You should probably go back to, you know, the way you used to do it when you scored, 52 goals? So, but there was a rumor. I think we could say this is the closest you could get to confirmed without getting a GM to confirm that the Rangers were looking at Barbanov before Roslovic, and ended up Vegas is the reason why they got Roslovic instead. Would you have rather Barbanov, I believe how that's pronounced his name, or you're happy they got Roslovic in the end?
I think I'm happier with Roslovic. Not that I don't know who Barabanov is. I know he was in the Leafs for a while before he went to the Sharks. So there's still some name recognition there, but I think Roslovic, you know, first round talent, and you kind of see why when you watch the game last night, and even when he did that ridiculous goal on us a couple weeks ago in Columbus, like he can really show flashes of his draft pedigree. I think just in his case, it was just a kind of a lack of consistency, which, you know, we're all too familiar with some of our Rangers.
Imagine if the Rangers had Beauvillier. He would have been thrown to the moon.
Yeah. it would have been brutal. But
Also, regarding Wennberg. So when they traded Wennberg, I thought, okay, there's no way they're trading Kako now, because since Hedl's out, they can't get the 1-2-3 punch. So I figured maybe they'll go for a shutdown line with Cooley, Wennberg, and Kako. Could you really see this as like a third line? Because they look good Saturday night, like a proper shutdown line that could really stop the top players of the opposing team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's what all three of those players are best suited for on this particular line. Absolutely.
And speaking of Saturday's game, do you think it's a coincidence that the Rangers played their best defensive game of the season with Trouba out of the lineup?
So I actually like Trouba. I think for some reason that's a hot take on Rangers Twitter, but I think in Trouba's case, I think it's like any defenseman who's overpaid. I think he's misplayed in this lineup. I think he's kind of mispaired. I don't think him and Miller should be a pair. I think it's what now? That pairing's on its third coach now.
Yeah,
I think. So I think the proof's in the pudding that pair is at best inconsistent and at worst an absolute tire fire.
If so, only they had a defensive defenseman to fit with them, and then a young speedy player to fit with Fox. I don't know if that would be pretty great.
Literally. Because I even got a hotter take. I don't think Lindgren in particular has had a very good season. When you look at his underlines, he's actually like, he's among some of the worst on the team. And I think it's the same thing. It could be injury related. It could be, it could be that he's playing against, tougher opponents now. It's very odd.
Yeah, no, he's not had a great year, and honestly, neither is Schneider, which is why when we got Ruido, I was like, I'm really okay if he just pops in for Schneider at this point, and they juggled the lines up, the pairings up, because I think we've gone long enough with the way that they're currently structured. If you were restructuring the defensive lines, what would your pairings be?
I would have Miller with Fox. I know that's a popular one on Twitter, but I think given those both of those players' skill sets, I think that would make a lot of sense. Because Miller is really good at zone exits. He's really good at taking the puck up himself. Fox is also good at taking the puck. So like maybe there's a little bit of similar skill set in some aspects. I mean, Fox is one of the three best defensemen in the league, versus Miller is maybe like a top 30 in the league, given his athleticism and stuff. But then I think you have your all shut down the Lindgren Trouba as your second pair. And then I would still keep Gustafsson with Schneider, and then swap in Ruidel every now and then.
What got me interested with Ruidel is that what he's very good at is in front of his own net, which I might be over exaggerating on this. It's just I always focus on this area because when it comes to playoff time, it could make or break your playoffs is how well you defend in front of your crease. And it seems that we do at times have a bit of problems with that. And with Ruidel specializing that, doing really well, especially on a Pittsburgh team who, I mean, look what happened now. Once they traded all their good players, they're just the tire fire. I mean, it's great to see, but,
they look awful.
Yeah, no, it's but yeah, no, I was shocked, honestly, that they went with Jones Saturday night. I thought for sure, especially with the right-handed or left-handed situation,
I think that was just to reward Jones because he has been sitting on the sideline.
He played
for a while,
great Saturday night,
and he's familiar with the system. Yeah, he did. And I mean, he's familiar with Laviolette's system to this point because he's been, even if he's just a practice player, like he's familiar with it. So I think that's why happened to draw in on Saturday. But I'm also further to your point in the playoffs too, like, you know, getting mean in front, as I would say, you know, they don't call it much in the playoffs. So agreed, like, get some bruisers in here.
Yeah, and we're not playing Pittsburgh, so you don't have to worry about that. Because the minute you touch one of them in front of them, oh, that's a penalty. You can't do that.
Although, I don't know if you guys, I don't know if either of you saw what I tweeted this morning, but I put up the standings. We're either playing Detroit. If we stay first in the Metro, we're either playing Detroit, so we're playing against Patty Kane, or we're playing Tampa. So that's like.
Imagine if Patrick Kane would score the first goal of the playoffs. I don't think Rangers Twitter would survive. I don't think that's something it will recover.
I block off.
Oh yeah, I'm just signing off. I'm signing off until, like, I don't know, like 2027. I'll be back then.
But then Tampa.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you got to
I know they're.
Detroit does have a game in hand, though.
I know they're older. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but they're like, I will say, since they've been missing Dylan Larkin from his injury, they seem to falter even after the deadline.
The Islanders,
as well.
Did the Islanders win?
The Red Wings.
Are you really?
So
they're fantasy reasons, Berkey.
They're three games in hand against Tampa with only 4 points behind. So it could very well be we play the Islanders.
That would be.
I don't like it because you don't mess with rivalry matchups. No matter who good the other side is, don't mess with a rivalry matchup.
I would welcome it.
You'd welcome it until game two overtime, where you're freaking out with 20 superstitions that you're trying to do. I don't know.
We have 20 shots. We have like 20 shots on goal entering second overtime because the defensive system they locked out.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't care. I would welcome that. I'm not scared, honestly. And this is a question I'll ask of you without saying it myself. Of the East, who are you scared to play in the playoffs?
Florida, without question.
Anyone else?
Without question. That is probably Tampa. If we had to play Tampa in the first round, just because it kind of will feel like the Penguin series a couple years ago. I know we were very lucky and fortunate that we got through that round, but I mean, you know, if you remember, Crosby and Gensel nearly won that series themselves in 2022.
Yeah.
So I would be very nervous of Tampa doing the same thing to us. Like, if Vasilevsky gets hot, if
Duclair,
Kucherov just,
you got Duclair, like, an ex-Ranger on there.
Duclair.
They knew they're playing us. They got Duclair for that reason.
Yeah. I know if you're a cup team, you know, you have to beat best. Be the best and all that, but man.
No, I wouldn't. Like, it's weird because Tampa does always bring out the best of the Rangers for some reason. I don't know why, but I don't know. I feel like every time we play them, I mean, I guess in general, the Rangers always play to the intensity of their opponent. So if it's Arizona, they're not going to be good that night. But if it's like Carolina, New Jersey, or Tampa, but I don't know. I feel like Tampa works because they don't have that speed necessarily. And, I guess Duclair helps that. But yeah, no, I feel that out of all the teams, not Carolina, though. You don't think Carolina?
I just, that team.
Is it because they don't have like any true top player?
I know they get.
Is that what it is? Because.
Kind of. I think that is because they get a bajillion shots on goal. Like, they'll get, you know, 50 shots on goal and 45 of them are like low danger chances. So, like, Igor's going to gobble them up. So, you know, they play a heavy game for sure, like a heavy volume shooting game. So that gets annoying over time. But, like, no.
Because we
no. At the risk of ending up on freezing cold tape.
Because we said Friday after trade deadline, because Carolina doesn't have that true top player. I guess you'd be terrified of Jake Gensel, but like, again, besides that, they don't have any. Yes, they have Aho, Svechnikov, but like, I'm not afraid of them. Like, I'd be with Crosby and Gensel in Pittsburgh, where I'd say, oh crap, like, we have a problem here. Or, you know, in Florida, who I think, honestly, Tarasenko, say what you want about him. Again, during the regular season, when it comes to the playoffs, man, he is so good. I think that.
Yeah, what does he have? Like, doesn't he have like 46 playoff goals or something, and like some like 60 playoff games? It's a crazy ratio.
It's yeah,
like
no, no, crazy it's ratio. It's insane. It's so he had two goals for the Panthers Saturday, if I don't, and assist.
Yes, he had a three.
But though he might have taken out Ekblad there, maybe a sleeper agent or something like that. I don't know. That'd be great. Yeah.
Although Ekblad's
yeah, that's true. That's true. So, how, like, versus Tampa, do you think they're a team that could beat us, or you think it's just going to be one of those series? We'll win, but it's just going to be as stressful as hell.
I think we would win, but it would be like in six or seven, which is just like, oh, Tampa in seven. Ugh, like, no. It would just be too long of a series. It would be, you know, you want a matchup where you would hopefully, you know, not have to go six or seven.
Well, the Rangers only know how to win in seven, so we have a bit of a problem there.
It's so true. I mean, it's so true.
Could anyone like have a career record like the last say 30 years? How many series have the Rangers run in seven, six, five, or four? I guarantee you, by a mile, it's like at least 50% is seven.
It's got to be.
When they
it's
won in 2015 and five?
I mean, whenever I first started following the team, it seems to always be game seven. So I first started watching in 2012.
Yeah, no, it's because when they won in 2015 in game five versus Pittsburgh, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're doing it. They're not winning. And then the next series, they have to go to seven. So it's
– Yeah. All time goal call though by
that
Doc
was
Emmerich.
The most stressful man. That overtime because the Washington was dominating the first 10 minutes. The Rangers, I don't think had one
they
shot
were.
On net.
They were.
I think the Girardi shot of Stepan's rebound. I think that was the first shot of the period, or maybe they got like a lucky one.
Yeah, the first
was,
second. Yeah, the
yeah
first
no, because it was. Yeah, I love how we always look forward to the playoffs, but then when we get to the playoffs, we're like, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is too much for me. Speaking of which, have you seen the Rangers' schedule for the remaining weeks of the season?
I have. I saw what you guys tweeted. It's absurd. It's absurd.
How do you do that? Like, how do you manage scratching players to like try to rest them up? Because I'm convinced the whole reason why they lost in 2022 to Tampa in the conference finals, again, I'm sure a lot of people will disagree, but honestly, I think one of the sole reasons is because they ran out of gas. And that year, they had a ridiculous schedule in March and April.
No, yeah. Yeah, no, I would absolutely agree with that. Yeah, I think that plays a lot into it. And I think it helps the kind of players they brought in because there is some flexibility in a way. Do they have like an additional roster spot where they could call someone up?
Because they have Jones and Ruedel.
You're right.
And then they did have to wave down Edstrom, or not wave, but sent down. They have
send them down
13 forwards and 8 defensemen. So,
they can't. Wow. So, yeah, it's I guess you're hoping get your 13th forward in there. And then just make sure, I guess if you're Laviolette, it's just making sure you give some run to Reweedel and Jones. Because they're going to be out there. They don't have
two to three weeks. Yeah. Well, what's upsetting about is that they didn't even attempt to maybe bring up Berard for a day and then bring him back down, because that means we won't have that little sample size of Brett Berard at the end of the season when they have the
when
you have a hat trick Saturday. Yeesh. That's pretty insane. Also, they could Yeah.
That guy, player. That guy.
Do you think he could be the Will Cooley of next year?
100%. Because he's also, it's not just that he's the amount he's scoring. He's scoring in all situations. Power play, 5-on-5. Like, he's really proving
himself. We're talking like third liner?
I think so. I could definitely see him in the top nine. 100%.
Yeah. Though they will, I'm assuming, if I'm correct, they will be able to bring up Edstrom because they did send him down before 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or something like that.
Yes.
So, got it. Okay. I think we, they wrapped it up here. I think we've kind of concluded that this defense is better without Trouba, but, Tyler, do you by any chance want to like punch anything in your Twitter handle, anything you're working on, your articles?
Yeah, sure. I write my thing's called Rangers Recap on Blue Sea Blog. So I write my thoughts and any kind of storylines that will happen in the game. Just my 2 cents on each one. Twitter handle is TylerRichard93. So, and then all my posts come out next day after game day. So.
All righty. Thanks, Tyler.
Very cool.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for being here. All right.